Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
Good morning, everyone. All right, I'm going to pray for us, if that's okay. Dear Lord Jesus, we just thank you so much for who you are, God. And I just pray, God, that every word that comes from my mouth today, every story that I tell, every scripture that I read, God, would be pointing back to you and to our lives in you. And so would you help me today, God? Would you grant me peace and grace as I share this word? In your name, amen. Well, good morning, everybody. Like Grace said, my name is Mary Williams, and I am the youth pastor here. I absolutely love being here at Vintage Faith. I love the kids and the teens that I get to work with. It is a fun job, an interesting job, challenging job. It's great, but I love it so much. And I grew up here in Los Angeles. I was the youngest of four children. And when I was a child, I was very obsessed with dolls. And I'm kind of embarrassed to say this in a public place, but I played with dolls until I was in middle school. And we had a closet in my house that we still refer to as the doll closet, even though there are no dolls in it anymore, because I had car seats and like fake kitchens and strollers and clothes. Like, I would go to the thrift store and buy real baby clothes for my dolls. I had a serious obsession. But throughout my whole life, I've loved kids. I've loved babies. I've loved moms and pretending that I was a mom. And that's just always been a dream in my heart, is to be a mom. And Psalm 37:4 says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And do you know that God sees the desires in your heart? He knows them very well, and he intends to give them to you. But sometimes he prepares you for those desires. Sometimes he gives you seasons of being patient and waiting on him for the timing of those desires. So this year I'm 23, and I was always very excited to be 23. When I would play dolls, I would pretend that I was 23 because I thought it was like such a glamorous age. I thought I would get married, have my first baby by 23. Well, I was very disillusioned. I'm neither married nor have a child, but I was just always really excited for this year. And I felt like God had kind of put an expectancy in me for this year and what was to happen in this year. And again, it turns out the things that I thought were going to happen didn't come to fruition, but a lot of other amazing things did. And like Grace said, I just went through a process of becoming a licensed minister, and that in and of itself was such a work of identity and really going in deep and asking the Lord, is this what you've called me to do? And going through the hard process of preparing for that and going before a board before it. But that was one of the amazing things that happened this year, was that I became a pastor. The other really fun thing that I did was I became a doula. And for those of you who don't know what a doula is, we work with pregnant women as a labor support. We are not medically trained in any way, so don't ask me about any medical jargon. But we care for the emotional and the physical well-being of that mama. So I always say, like, doctors and midwives deal with here down, and we do like the heart and the mind. We do here up. But we are born nurturers. We love nurturing. We love encouraging. We love just being with people in probably one of the most challenging moments of their life and telling them, you're going to get through this and you're going to do this. So God prepared me for that my whole life. I believe my love for moms, my love for babies prepared me for the season that I'm in right now. But to give you a little picture of what I do as a doula, I was at a birth about a month ago, and at one point in the labor, I'm down on the floor tying the mom's shoes. We're getting ready to go to the hospital, so we're putting her shoes on, tying her shoelaces, and she has that moment, and all of you moms are going to know what I'm talking about, that moment where she looks at us and she goes, I don't think I can do this. She's like, this is really hard. And it was her third baby, and she goes, and I remember how bad the pain is, and I don't want to do it anymore. And so I'm tying her shoe, and her husband and I are telling her, you're doing amazing. You're doing it. The baby's almost here. You're great. And all of a sudden, just tears start streaming down her face, and she starts questioning, can I really do this? Like, this is intense. This is more intense than I remembered. And so all of a sudden, her and her husband start having this really intimate moment. They start talking, they start kissing, and I am just like wanting to crawl and disappear on the floor. But that's birth. It's like really intense and painful, and then it's like really beautiful and intimate, and there's a lot of connection. And so this past year, I've been learning so much about birth and labor. I've been reading books. I cannot tell you how many times people have asked me if I was pregnant. I go into Barnes & Noble all the time. I'm in the labor section, and they're like, how far along are you? Not pregnant at all. But I get asked all the time because I love going to childbirth education classes and learning. I love listening to podcasts. I love all of it. And I was reading a book, and the section of this book was entitled Pain Versus Suffering. And as soon as I read it, I said, that's my next sermon. And I just felt like discernment in my heart that there was something spiritual about it. That first quote, it says, although the terms pain and suffering are often used interchangeably, there is a big difference between the two. Labor, even when long and painful, does not inevitably cause suffering. Pain is an unpleasant physical sensation that may or may not be associated with suffering. For example, the pain people feel when working out at the gym or jogging uphill is not suffering. Suffering is a distressing psychological state that may include feelings of hopelessness, anguish, remorse, fear, panic, or loss of control, and that may or may not be associated with pain. For example, being emotionally abused or witnessing another person being hurt or injured may cause one to suffer, even though one may feel no sensation of pain. And immediately I'm reading this and I just felt a revelation in my heart that so many of us are confusing our pain for suffering. And so many of us who believe in God and believe in the power of God and the victory that He has over our lives are getting in this mindset of believing that He doesn't actually have the victory over our pain. And I felt that so many of us are getting robbed seasons, years, decades of our life because we don't believe that God actually carries the victory over our pain. Amen? And so that's what we're gonna get into today, and that's what we're gonna talk about, is that when you start to believe this hard relationship I'm in is never gonna end. The financial debt I'm in, I'm never gonna get out of it. That's when we begin to suffer. And I'm here to tell you today that this is not the life God intended for you. Right. A life of fearing, a life of living and suffering, that's not what He's intended for you. So this is an image we use a lot in childbirth education. And something you might not know is that fear actually augments pain. Fear makes pain so much worse than it was ever meant to be. So when I begin to fear, when I begin to get in my head about, oh my gosh, the contraction's coming, and it's gonna hurt so bad, and it's gonna last so long, and it's never gonna end, and I'm gonna die in this hospital giving birth to this baby, I begin to carry tension in my body. And you mamas know this, but the thing you need to do when you're having a baby is relax. And so when I'm going like this, it hurts so much more than if I relax and if I surrender to the process that is my labor, right? And so we like to remind people when they're in the midst of labor that this is normal. You're gonna go through pain, you're gonna have discomfort, but guess what? You're birthing a baby. You're birthing a baby, and this is part of the process to get there, and it's not gonna be forever. It's not gonna last on and on and on. You're gonna have a baby at the end of it. And I would never look at a woman who's in pain during a contraction and say, embrace it, love it, this is so great. Because it's hard, right? It's super painful. The awesome part is that she's gonna have a baby in the end. That's the awesome part. That's the part that we need to embrace. And so we need to, in the same way, celebrate and recognize when we walk through something really painful, it's usually because God's trying to birth something new in us. And He's trying to do something really, really great. And if we get so caught up in the pain and we don't surrender the process, we're never gonna see that thing. And I look at some of the most beautiful things that have ever been birthed out of my life, even my relationship and the intimacy I have with God, and it came out of seasons of a lot of pain and a lot of challenge. And at some point, I had to see the bigger picture of what God was doing and say, I want that, God. Right. I want to surrender the process because I want all that you have for me. And I know that this is just a moment. So if you want to take a look at the screen, we're going to watch a video of a story of someone who walked through a season like this.
You live my dream life, and I want to trade lives, and your life looks so perfect and amazing. And I started getting these messages on Instagram. And so the idea that my life could conjure up those feelings for someone else broke my heart. And it just would bring me straight back to all of my 20s living in my bed, handling chronic pain, death, marriage problems horribly. And I just felt such depression anytime I would look on social media. I just felt this deep conviction that, like, I need to give people the full context. My senior year of high school, when I was 17, I pulled out in front of an ambulance and he hit me on my car door going like 65, and I broke 3 ribs and they punctured my lungs. My lungs collapsed, spleen ruptured, and I broke C1 and C2, which are the top 2 vertebrae in your neck. I was on life support for a while and I didn't really have any residual effects at the time. I went back to life. I completed college. I was offered a job in Nashville. I met my first real boyfriend and remarried 10 months later. Probably a year into our marriage, one day I was just walking in front of Starbucks and this crazy pain shot up my head. I like almost blacked out and it just got progressively worse and worse and worse. And we'd try all these therapies and nothing helped. And then they started me on pain medication. And I just didn't want to hurt all the time. And it just got darker and darker and scarier and scarier. And this went on for like 4 to 5 years. Basically, a $50 x-ray showed that one of the wires from my previous spinal cord fusion had broken and pierced into my brainstem. Every doctor is like, if we don't get this out, you'll be paralyzed. You should be paralyzed already. Every time we'd leave my dad's presence when we were children, he'd say, I love you so much, remember your manners, and always look out for the little guy. My dad wanted to come tell me that he would sell our farm so that I could have the money to pay for the surgery. And the night before he was coming to visit me, he had a freak accident and ended up falling down a flight of stairs and ended up passing of brain damage. It was just such a huge, massive loss. I just remember waking up in my bed and I would have like pinched myself to draw blood because I just was like, I have to be living in a nightmare. Like, this can't be real, you know? This can't be real. So after having this extremely high-risk surgery, I was eternally grateful to not be paralyzed, but I actually left with a new and equally debilitating pain. I quickly realized this pain isn't gonna just be right now. This is gonna be my forever. And I retreated back to my life in bed. I could tell my marriage was coming to an end and I broke. I had a literal nervous breakdown. It ended up being one of the best things that ever happened to me because I think hitting that big of a wall, moving forward, there is either death or I have to change everything. I ended up deciding to wean myself off of all the narcotics that I had been living on. As I came off the medication, all of a sudden I was seeing beauty where all I had seen was darkness. And I felt hopeful, I felt grateful, and I was in awe. I was in awe of the beauty around me. As I started projecting that and not leading with my pain anymore, this pain became this beautiful vehicle of connection with other people. And that made my pain feel purposeful. So what I've learned is pain can do one of two things. It can make us bitter, hopeless, cynical, or we can choose to let it make us empathetic, more appreciative of the beauty all around us, truly joyful, and a better friend. I believe the reason I'm here is to walk with others in the midst of their suffering, to look them in the eye and say, there is so much hope for you too. If my pain and suffering can help even one person get out of bed and choose life, what an honor. I wouldn't change one thing. Life is so worth living. It is so beautiful, and it's such a gift.
Isn't that a cool story? Well, something Ruthie said in that video that stuck out to me was, I quickly realized this pain isn't just going to be right now. This is going to be my forever. And that is where pain becomes suffering. When we think, this is going to be my forever. The circumstance I'm in, the pain I'm feeling right now is never going to change. So what's the point? What's the point of living? What's the point of going outside and having a life? And what I want to tell you today is that pain is going to happen in your life. It says in the Bible, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. And what we have to remember in seasons like that is Christ has overcome it. Christ has overcome everything. If your marriage is on the rocks, if you are in insurmountable debt, if you have debilitating depression, Christ has overcome it. And suffering happens when I lose sight of God's victory over that pain. I'm losing sight that he's already won it, he's already done it, and I'm feeling victim to it, right? To this is just how my life's gonna be and I'm just gonna fold here. But no, we have to remember that he already has the victory and I need to keep that in sight. And I loved at the end there when she said that when she got off the drugs, when she started seeing the beauty and the wonder and the joy. And that's what I'm saying. When we get robbed of our lives, we're getting robbed of the beauty, of the wonder, of the joy that God has created in our lives. And so today I want to look at the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And as you can tell by looking at this picture, he had a pretty rough life. Jeremiah was asked by God to go to Judah and pretty much tell them about their impending destruction. So it was a pretty hard message to share. It was not an easy one. And God knew that it was going to be challenging for Jeremiah. He knew it was going to be a painful process getting there and telling them this message. And so it says in Jeremiah 1, God had to tell him this truth before he left. And the truth was, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And pretty much what God's saying here is, Jeremiah, I have a purpose for your life. I created you for this very moment, for this very reason. I wanted you to go and be a prophet to the nations. And I feel like a lot of us, as we look at stories like this and we see scriptures like this about purpose and God encouraging us, we're like, yeah, Jeremiah, go for it. You've got it, buddy. But the reality of Jeremiah's life was that he suffered. He was lonely. He was ridiculed. He was really insecure. He went on this mission and God literally told him, you can't get married or have kids while you're in Judah. So he's there ministering alone, living alone. He's poor. Everyone there who he had grown such a heart for, that he wanted to see saved by God, literally hated him. They tried to kill him. And here he is in this insecurity of like, why am I even here? And I think a lot of us think that there's some superhero quality in people in the Bible. Like they just don't have difficulties and they just keep going. But I see so much humanity in Jeremiah, in his struggles and his openness of this sucks and I don't want to do it anymore, God. Like, why did you even send me here? Jeremiah 1:17 says, get yourself ready, stand up and say to them whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them or I will terrify you before them. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I know that if I was reading this in a good season of my life, it would be so easy to believe the promises of God. Right. That he overcomes it all, that he's always with me. It's so easy in those good boat cruise kind of seasons of life. Like, yeah, that sounds so great. But when you're in the depths of it and it feels like you're being overcome, it is hard to believe the promise that they will not overcome you. Amen? It is hard to believe that promise and that encouragement. And we begin to let our feelings, I feel overcome, dictate what we believe about God. Because that's truth no matter what. No matter if you're in a good season or a bad season, that's the truth. And it's our feelings about our circumstances that change what we believe about it. And Ruthie said at one point in her video, she was pinching herself and saying, this has got to be a nightmare. Like, really? This is my life? And I know that a lot of us in this room have said that too, that there are families I look at sometimes and I'm like, how can you go through so much pain? Like, it's just not fair. And Jeremiah felt like that too. He said in Jeremiah 20, 14 through 18, cursed be the day on which I was born. The day when my mother bore me, let it not be blessed. Why did I come out from the womb to see toil and sorrow and spend my days in shame? So Jeremiah leaves on this mission so full of faith, so full of purpose, so full of encouragement from God. But here he is about halfway through saying, why am I even alive? And what happens is when we begin to focus on our outward circumstances, we lose sense of our purpose completely. Because when the going gets rough, why am I even here? Why am I even doing this? Well, God never said it was gonna be easy, but he did say that he created you to do it. And he's gonna give you the power, he's gonna give you the purpose, he's gonna give you the encouragement to do it. And what happens when we believe that we have no purpose is we really have no reason to live, right? Like Ruthie said, she retreated to her bed. Why would she go outside? Why would she do anything for society? There was no reason, it felt like, for her to live when she had no purpose. And what happens is we begin to retreat. We retreat to our bed. We retreat to where nobody can see us. And there's this temptation to numb. There's a temptation to numb, to retreat, to check out, to not deal with what we're feeling. But did you know that when you numb, you not only numb the pain in your life, but you also numb all the good stuff? Yeah. Numbing is literally deprived of the power of sensation. So I can't feel, I can't see, I can't hear. I can't hear God's encouragement. I can't feel his embrace. I can't see his goodness when I'm trying so hard to numb everything that's coming at me. And so we think we're doing ourselves this great service. I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to feel it. But we're missing out on what God has for us. And in our search to run away from our pain, what we really do is we isolate ourselves from God. In the place where you need him the most, you're turning off your ability to see, to feel, to hear him. And numbing in today's day and age does not just look like drugs and alcohol. Numbing is watching hours and hours of reality TV because you don't want to deal with the reality of your own life. Numbing is keeping your schedule so ridiculously busy because you don't want to sit down for 5 minutes and think about what's actually going on in your life. And we find ourselves in a place of fear. I'm so afraid to deal with what's actually going on. I'm so afraid to just look at what's really in front of me. And what did we learn earlier, guys, about fear and pain? Fear augments pain. Fear makes pain so much worse than it was ever meant to be. And God did not create you to live in a world where you wouldn't feel anything. He did not create you to live in a world where you would shut off and retreat and numb. He created you to live in a world where you would feel, where you would see everything around you that he created. God did not send his son to the cross so that you would live a life like that. Right. He did not make the greatest sacrifice of all times so that we would numb and retreat and not live out our full purpose in Christ. Amen? Amen. And I look at that story of Ruthie, and I see her from her deepest moments of pain and suffering and laying in her bed to where she is now. And what's crazy about it, guys, is her circumstances didn't change. The pain didn't go away. She made a choice to change her life. She made a choice to surrender to the purpose that God had for her. And some of you in this room today are waiting for everything around you to change, for all of your circumstances to change, and then I'll live my best life. When life's not so hard, then I'll be good. Well, what if I told you some of the circumstances might not change? And maybe it's you who needs to change.
Come on, Mary.
and that's not a fun thing for me to say to you, but I think it's the truth of the world that we're living in today, is that so many of us, we are victims to the lives we lead. Instead of saying, I'm gonna make a change. I'm gonna get off the drugs. I'm gonna say yes to Jesus. I'm gonna make a change because I'm tired of living my life where I don't feel anything. Right. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. There is nothing, nothing that God will not help you escape. He has the power, he has the victory, he has the authority over everything in your life. And I think we need a reality check in the same way that those women, when they're in labor, need a reality check of, this isn't going to be forever. Yeah. You're going to get through this. And you're going to have a baby at the end of it. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. Yeah. And if you want to see amazing things birthed out of your life, if you want to see amazing things produced out of your life, you're not just signing up for the good times. You're not just signing up for the harvest. You're signing up for seasons of barrenness and hard work. And so many of us, we just want the harvest. We just want the good times and I'm eating and it feels good. This quote I love by Henry Cloud says, many people wish for a different universe than the one in which we live. They want one where every day is harvest time and there are no long, laborious summer months to go through in order to get there. And when the harvest is ripe and they are thriving, they want no approaching winters where they see that the harvest is over and a cold death is looming. And this is the reality of our lives, guys. There are seasons. And there are seasons where you work and you toil and you labor. And there are seasons where you birth and you enjoy and you harvest. This is how God created us. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 4 says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. And I love reading the scripture when I'm just going through it and I need to see that it's okay to be where I'm at. And I don't need to rush into the harvest season when it's really time for me to rest. Or it's really time for me to hunker down and be with God and know the promises of God. Because when you get to that harvest season, you're gonna need to know that truth. And you're gonna need to remember all that God did in you during that time. Amen? I have a couple practical steps I wanna end on today. The first practical step is this question: what do you want to lead with? When you live with any kind of pain, let it be chronic physical pain or emotional pain, that can very easily become the focal point of your life. When I was growing up, my mom had fibromyalgia. So she had debilitating physical pain as well as emotional pain. She was severely depressed when I was growing up. And I remember that all of her conversations that she had with people were kind of surrounding this pain of, how are you feeling? Oh, it must be just so awful. And everything she did kind of surrounded, like, are you going to get up today? Are you not going to get up today? I really feel awful. Like, that was just the cycle of her life. That was what she led with, was her pain. And I was talking to my mom recently, and she said, you know what, Mary? I'm so done complaining. She said, I spent too many years of my life being negative. Wow. And she just made a choice, and she made a line in the sand where she was like, the pain's here. Like, I feel it all the time, but I can choose to live a better way. Yeah. And I can choose to lead with something else that when I'm with people, they leave my presence feeling seen, feeling heard, feeling loved, feeling encouraged. And it's not all about maybe me and my pain and what I'm walking through. And so this is the first question I want you guys to ask yourselves is, what do you want to lead with? when you leave people's presence, what do you want them to remember? What do you want them to know? Who do you want to point them to? And I thought a lot about, what did Jesus lead with when he was on earth? And Matthew 11, 28 through 30 came to mind. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we all know that Jesus's life wasn't without its hardships, but he chose to lead with rest, with love, with a gentle heart. And so this is an intentional choice you have to make, no matter what your circumstances say, is what do I want to lead with? What do I want people to remember about me when my life is over? The worship team can come up. The second practical thing I want you to do is find yourself a doula.
Yeah.
Sarah has one at home. Maybe it's not a birth doula. It shouldn't be a birth doula. But somebody who's going to support you. Somebody who's going to encourage you. And when the times are rough, they're going to look you in the eyes. They're going to lock eyes with you and say, "You're going to get through this. You're amazing. And God is doing something so cool in you right now. And I can tell by being here that it feels really hard right now, but God is doing something really amazing in you." So find a friend, find a family member. And if you're really going through it and you're saying, "There's nobody around me," or "I just don't feel like God's talking to me right now," open your Bible. God is always speaking to us. God's word is alive and active, and it is an encouragement to our souls. When we are dry and thirsty, it is an encouragement to our souls. Jeremiah 15, 20, I love this encouragement that God gives Jeremiah. It says, "I'll turn you into a steel wall, a thick steel wall, impregnable. They'll attack you but won't put a dent in you because I'm at your side, defending and delivering. I'll deliver you from the grip of the wicked. I'll get you out of the clutch of the ruthless." And in a moment here, we're going to take some time to pray and to worship. But the truth is, you don't always have access to a prayer team and an altar. You have access to Jesus. And so my third thing I want you to do is to build intimacy with God. Because when you're in the depths of it, Sunday mornings isn't going to be enough. You're going to need to get on your knees and pray every hour of every day because it's so hard sometimes. And so build your own intimacy with God. Intimacy literally means closeness. Get close with Jesus. And if you're like, "I'm not in a hard time right now," okay, build intimacy with God now so that when you are in that hard time, you're so close to him. Something I love to do on my notes in my phone is I literally have it titled prophetic words. And I go down and I write everything that God's speaking to me, or if someone else gives me a prophetic word, but specifically what God's speaking to me. And I can scroll through that at any point and just be so encouraged because I just see my history with God and the promises that God told me that I saw come to fruition. And you're gonna need to hold fast to that history when it's hard. And if you're like, "I don't know what you're talking about, history with God," build your history with God starting today. It starts with getting close to him every single day. And some of us are really intense about like, "I do my quiet times in the morning," or "I do my quiet times at night." Like, build it into your schedule. I'm in my car every single day, so I turn on worship music and I worship God and I pray. I go on a walk every single day, so I take some time in that walk to take out my earbuds and pray and listen. Build it into your schedule. Build it into your life. That's what real intimacy is with God. It's not showing up here. It's really not. Being close to God, having a relationship with God, is connecting with him outside of this place. And if you have gone through season after season of it just feeling really difficult and feeling really distant from God, find that intimacy with him. So if some of you are sitting here today and just feeling like you've been on the brink of shutting down, of checking out, of numbing, now's your moment. And we're going to sing a song and have some prayer ministers up here, but I want you to know that it's not the prayer ministers up here that are special. It's you getting out of your seat. It's you being obedient and laying down your pride and coming before the Lord humbly and saying, I need to let go of fear today. I need to stop numbing my pain today. And it takes a moment of surrender. It takes getting out of that seat and coming up and just confessing, I need Jesus. I need him more. And maybe you're in a really great season. You still need Jesus. Yeah. Sorry, you do. So if you could stand with us and the prayer team is going to come forward, we're going to go ahead and worship together one last song. But if you would like prayer today, please come up. Please be brave, be bold, and come up and receive what the Father wants to share with you today.
Wow, church, praise God for that word. Amen. We thank you for this time that we've been able to hear the word of God. And if you have to leave at this time, we ask that you do so. And if you need to get prayer, you can come up. The prayer team will remain here. But you guys are dismissed, and be the church this week.